Starting a business can seem like a daunting task, unless you have a partner like Shopify. They have the tools you need to start and grow your business. From designing a website to marketing to selling and beyond, Shopify can help with everything you need. There's a reason millions of companies like Mattel, Heinz, and Allbirds continue to trust and use them. With Shopify on your side, turn your big business idea into sign up for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/special offer.
Grandpa's here.
Hank's always helping out. Grandpa style. Now he's treating his prostate cancer with help from Xtandi enzalutamide. Xtandi 40 milligram tablets treats men with prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and responds to a medical or surgical treatment to lower testosterone. Xtandi may cause serious side effects, seizure, a brain condition called PRESS, allergic reactions, heart disease that can lead to death, falls and bone fractures, swallowing problems, or choking that can lead to death. Stop Xtandi and get medical help at once if your face, tongue, lip, or throat start swelling. Tell your doctor at once if you faint, have a seizure, quickly worsening headache, decreased alertness, confusion, vision problems, chest pain or discomfort, or shortness of breath. Xtandi can cause harm to an unborn baby or miscarriage. Use birth control during and 3 months after Xtandi. Common side effects include muscle and joint pain, feeling unusually tired, hot flashes, constipation, less appetite, diarrhea, high blood pressure, bleeding, falls, fractures, and headache. Talk to your doctor and visit Xtandi.com.
Bhatia, how would you rate the president's trip?
Thank you so much for having me, Brian. It's so great to be here with you. I think this was the most momentous foreign policy speech and visit of my lifetime. And it's utterly astonishing, although should not be surprising, that the mainstream liberal media has had an absolute blackout on the massive achievements. Not only has the president gotten over $2 trillion in investment committed from Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and let's see what the UAE promises, but the speech that he gave in Riyadh is an epoch-defining speech. If you had the Obama speech from 2009, where he said, you know, there's no contradiction between Islam and the West because everybody wants the same things. Everybody wants to live in a liberal democracy and you share those values. And that defined the failures of the democratic approach to foreign policy. And you had the sort of neocon forever wars of the Bush administration, which defined that era. Donald Trump has repudiated both of those. And what he is effectively saying is we are going to put America first. And what we want from our allies across the globe is economic partnership and partnership in peace. What he wants to see is sovereign, strong allies who bring something to the table, who fight terrorists for us and invest in American workers. That is the formula. And this is going to define the next 100 years in terms of American foreign policy. It was an utterly astonishing, amazing moment. And that's why the media won't cover it.
So you're not looking past the fact that Saudi Arabia has most of the hijackers were from Saudi Arabia. You're not working past the fact that that they had the Wahhabi form of Islam that gave us bin Laden. And what you're saying is, yes, that was then. There's a sign that this is now. So when it comes to Qatar, you're not looking past the fact that Hamas still is very comfortable there, and so does Iran. But at the same time, Israel also works through through Doha, and they still have our fantastic air bases there that they built for us and that they pay 60% of all the costs for. You're saying even though there's downsides to the way they conduct their business, you think it's necessary to turn the page and treat it as business?
First of all, if Howard Lutnick can go to Saudi Arabia and put that behind him, lost his brother and 600 employees in 9/11, I think we can really take a lesson from that. The question is not, should we be adjudicating the morality of the world? The question is, how can we put America first? And that means, by definition, respecting the sovereignty and the values of other countries, even if they are not ours, which they definitely are not. I think Saudi Arabia has made tremendous strides in the last few decades. They clearly want to be part of a more westernized world.
Although MBS does.
MBS does. His Vision 2030 plan for Saudi Arabia, which is how they are going to remain solvent depends on it. Of course, Qatar are state sponsors of terrorism. I don't want to diminish that. I don't think we should have an airbase there. I don't know why it's there. I think there are many other places that would be a better place for it. I don't like seeing them as a major player on the global stage. But what I do like to see is them coming to Donald Trump and showing him respect and vowing to invest in the American worker. And hopefully what we will get out of that is, I mean, what President Trump asked the Saudis to do, which is to take on fighting ISIS in Syria and take over those prisons.
So Alex Gray was a NSC chief of staff for President Trump, and he said this about his trip last night. Cut eight.
We spent 25 years with American politicians only thinking about the Middle East in terms of conflict and chaos.
Yeah.
And you have Donald Trump bringing an entirely new perspective, which is let's make the Middle East something that can be viable, commercial, that can be prosperous, that can be peaceful, yeah, and that can further America's strategic and economic interests. Not just a place where we expend resources and lose lives, but a place where Americans can help make the region prosperous, and we can actually make some money, too. And this is a he is seeing a win-win Middle East for the first time in decades. And that's exactly what we want from our president, strategic foresight.
And also, he's building up personal relationships. And I think even in today's high-tech age, you can't put a price on that. To be able to say, hey, by the way, we're not even talking oil and gas, which is fascinating, isn't it? We're not talking about OPEC. We're not talking about, you know, keep up production, keep down production. This is how much control. That's what Joe Biden went over there for, the pariah nation. He went to visit because the price of oil was too high. Inflation was too high.
And by the way, they said no to him.
Right. And they said, let me think about it. No, I'm not going to give you an answer. So he left empty handed with a fist bump. So now it's a phone call. It's a relationship. It's not necessarily leverage. You know, what is going on over there? You know, get somebody on the phone. Who are the players? So I think the president knew these people before, but now he knows them a lot better. And we'll see what happens, especially if they start going through. What I found out, Bhatti, is I don't have the resources to be able to find out if they're going to fulfill their promise. But I guess they only put in $90 billion and they pledged $100 million. Like, there's a lot that they didn't do that they pledged to do.
First of all, ladies, get yourselves a man who looks at you the way MBS looks at Trump, okay? That's all I mean, the beatific smile. Yeah, although I have to say, I feel like it was more going in one direction. But yes, that bromance is alive and well. To your point, Brian, the investment, Trump doesn't see the Middle East as defined by, you know, Jew versus Muslim or Shia versus Sunni. He is not interested in adjudicating the beefs of these mullahs. He sees it as, are you going to go with Grok or are you going to go with, you know, OpenAI, right? And to wit, as a sign of the peace to come, both Sam Altman and Elon Musk were on the trip together. So already bringing peace, you know, to that beef right there. Yeah, he sees this as a major opportunity for the United States and for the Middle East. Peace through strength. And as Katie Pavlich keeps saying, peace through commerce.
Right. So what is your take? Iran is something different. We have to get them to totally dismantle and not spin their centrifuges and not enrich uranium. Simply can't be done. We all know they don't need nuclear power. Here's what Ali Shabkani said. He is a aide to the Grand Ayatollah. This we said to Richard Engel. It looks like they're considering doing something in Iran. Cut 20.
Today, we sat down with Ali Shabkani, the military, political, and nuclear advisor to Iran's supreme leader. He said Iran also wants a deal.
Yes, we are ready.
Shabkani is one of the few people in Iran authorized to speak about the sensitive negotiations.
We can definitely have better relations with the U.S.
Your thoughts?
It's a really interesting moment. Obviously, Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. Trump was very clear about that in his speech. He also called them thugs. He said that they are responsible for much of the bloodshed in the Middle East.
They're trying to kill him still.
They're still trying to kill him. He's such a forgiving person, by the way. I would not go and make a deal with people who are trying to kill me or had tried to kill me in the past. It all depends on the details here. But thankfully, he has a lot of people in the Senate, people like Tom Cotton, who are very much on top of this. I don't think they're going to allow, and I don't think that Trump would sign a deal that was fundamentally bad for the United States and for Israel.
And by the way, I don't think Iran would do something that's not going to be verified by the Senate. They saw what happened last time. They didn't like that deal. I'm not sure if they actually liked it or not, but it didn't get verified. And the new guy comes in and just rips it up. So they might be like, you know, I don't know how this democracy works, but unless it passes the Senate, why would I sign something and it's not? So that's why I think when a bunch of senators, 70 senators come out and 40 senators come out and said, no nukes, period, dismantle it, it means a lot. Now, the other thing is Putin doesn't show up to a meeting that he called today in Turkey, but Zelensky does. Where do these negotiations, how do you see these going?
It's very interesting. I don't think anyone's shocked that he didn't show up. I don't think Trump is shocked that he didn't show up. I think he's sort of overplaying his hand right now. I don't think Trump is going to look kindly on that. He's given him a lot of leeway. He's given Putin a lot of reason to believe that Trump is going to be a fair arbiter here, whatever that means to Putin. And I think that this is kind of, he's coming to the end of the road of Trump's patience.
It is, but I don't want them to walk away. I just think it's in our interest to make sure that we back up our ally. Chuck, excuse me, here's Trump kind of covering for Putin a little bit. Cut 32.
Nothing's going to happen until Putin and I get together, okay? And obviously he wasn't going to go. He was going to go, but he thought I was going to go. He wasn't going if I wasn't there. And I don't believe anything's going to happen, whether you like it or not, until he and I get together. But we're going to have to get it solved because too many people are dying.
So he's trying to say, well, I didn't go. It's on me, because he does not want to. If he comes out and says, this guy blew it, I gave him every opportunity, he feels the negotiations are over. J.D. Vance wants to drop these negotiations now. Just give him the little sliver of hope. He'd love just to cut off Ukraine.
Yeah, I think from the president's point of view, he has always seen this as sort of a proxy war between the United States and Russia that he and the American people did not want to be in and got kind of dragged into because of Putin, obviously. But so from his point of view, the people with the cards, as he would say, are the U.S., without whom Ukraine cannot continue to fight, and Russia. So it makes sense that, you know, from his point of view, obviously Ukraine is a stakeholder, major stakeholder, half of it here. But he sees this as something that he can solve with Putin on behalf of Ukraine.
I hope so, because it's really coming down to it. Like the president said, I'm losing patience. I don't want to spend any more time on this. I just wonder what Putin's thinking, because the central bank could get sanctioned, could make things worse. Third party sanctions, that would hit India and China. Because we're hitting China anyway, I guess, in theory, because they're buying Iranian oil and they're getting cheap oil from Russia and their economy's still tanking.
Right. I'm glad you brought up JD, by the way. I do think that there is more daylight between JD's foreign policy, domestic policy, and President Trump's, and, for example, Marco Rubio, who I think is much more aligned with the president's foreign policy. And I think this is going to keep being more and more interesting to watch as we get closer and closer to 2028.
And, you know, some have speculated that Trump's liking that there's a little bit of a debate mm-hmm. between his two higher ups when it comes to foreign policy. He's actually using his vice president. His vice president's doing a ton.
Yeah.
Bhatia, you going to stick around?
Sure.
All right. A few more minutes with Bhatia Unger Sargon right after this when we come back on the Brian Kilmeade Show. It turns out that Joe Biden wasn't all there during his term. This really caught me by surprise. Give me a second to regroup. Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course, or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian.
This episode is brought to you by SelectQuote. Life insurance can have a huge impact on our family's future. With SelectQuote, getting covered with the right policy for you is simple and affordable. SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents will tailor your experience to find a life insurance policy for your needs in as little as 15 minutes. And SelectQuote partners with carriers that provide policies for many conditions. SelectQuote. They shop, you save. Go to selectquote.com/SpotifyPod today to get started.
He is among the people that are responsible for this. The leaders of the Democratic Party, the staff of the White House. And I have to say, I find everybody now talking to these authors, get out of here. Go home. You're part of the problem. Now you tell us. So I find You know, the reason why the Democratic Party has less credibility today, because of this distrust.
You go home. Chuck Todd, you were hosting Meet the Press during the entire time. Are you nuts? You want them to go home? You quit or you got fired. I'm not sure. But Bhatia, are you kidding? Bhatia Unger Sargon is here. You go home. It's Chuck. Are you kidding? He's as complicit as anybody.
This whole thing is so infuriating because what they're effectively doing is to get themselves off the hook. They are just basically humiliating Biden again, putting it all on him when they were the enablers, they were the liars, they were the gaslighters. Like, it was Jill Biden's job to protect her husband's mm-hmm. dignity. She's not the villain here.
So, Bhatia, it's like this. Imagine Bob Woodward. I went up to Nixon. I said, did you have anything to do with Watergate? He said, no. So I said, oh, there, what do you want me to do? Okay. Yeah, you're right. I wouldn't do a follow-up question like, well, we got tapes. So everybody knows that Joe Biden's failing in front of the camera. He refuses to show up, can't run cabinet meetings. You see the note cards, the scripted questions that he's – all these things. They don't ask any questions, and now he's telling just Jake Tapper to get out of here? Meet the Press was willing to conclude that Donald Trump was complying, was working with Russia to overthrow our government, mm-hmm. right? Because we're putting two and two together, but they can't put together forensically Joe Biden's failures.
Everything about this stinks. The people who wrote it being the very people who covered for him, giving cover still today to all of their sources, not naming a single one. And it's because all of the Democrats are on board with this. They want to put the whole burden on Biden and move on. But here's why I think Republicans should love this.
Just so for people know that Bhatia is saying that the cabinet members are on the record, but just not their names.
Exactly.
So cabinet members making the statements, but don't put my name down. Cowards.
Exactly. People who will keep working in the Democratic Party and in Democratic Party politics. Here's why I think Republicans should love this, though, because this is not just a cover for the party. It's a cover for the fact that they have no agenda. They're acting like the fact that Biden was failing in terms of his, you know, mental acuity is the reason they lost, when the reason they lost is they have nothing to offer the American people. So let them do
too.
This.
I mean, that's a drill down. I mean, I know you can
let them have this. Let them have their moment.
But your thoughts, because you go on so many different shows from Bill Maher to CNN. What are your thoughts about how they think Trump is doing compared to the way they were portraying him before? Do you think they know he's doing a pretty good job, or do you think they really think he's unhinged?
I think they know. I think they know. Yeah.
It's hard to say, is it?
I think they know. They know because the polling shows, you know, yeah, on the economy, people are worried right now, but on immigration, on leadership, and you know what? In 6 months, people are going to be thrilled.
Thanks so much, Bhatia.
Thanks, Brian. God bless you.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.